All right. All right, Benoit. Benoit, can you close door?
Whoa. Here we go again with the last talk in our operations session, and I already promised it will be about RSBMD itself. Yeah? So we will get a hands-on introduction about all of the history and the dirty secrets, probably. and so let's go. Room's yours.
Oh, yeah. So first of all, thank you all for coming, because this time I see much more people in the audience than in my last talk in 2015. In this short talk, I will give just a short kind of introspection of the development of the project, what things I've done, what was wrong, what was good, what was bad, and so on and so forth. So no technical details, almost no technical details, I promise. So that was the first commit of the RSBMD like 16 years ago, right? But actually it was like 15 years, according to my own kind of... It was about 5,000 of line of code, mostly copy and paste from another my project. But actually from the very beginning, basically the main goal was to make a system that can scale well and then can filter email fast. And that was the main principle of kind of everything in RSBMD. So if you ask why RSBMD does this or that things in somehow strange way, probably just because of performance considerations. And the reason why I have created this project was just to kind of reduce load from our scanning layer. That was a big fast mail, free mail project. We had lots of users and lots of emails, lots of spam, and our spam layer was not able to cope with the load. It was, to my best knowledge, 22 servers at that time. And they were very, very hot. And when we introduced the first prototype, we found that, like, okay, we can go like 10 times more users without any problems. And in the beginning, it wasn't kind of... that fat project that it is now. So what we needed? We needed regular expressions, because all our rules were in regular expressions. We needed URLs parsing, because it was very important to build the lists against some bad domains and stuff like that. And one important thing that was kind of considered from the very beginning was UTF-8 support. Because unlike, for example, our previous system that was Spam Assassin, apparently, we had to deal a lot with non-English texts. And support of UTF-8 was essential. And that was the kind of from the very beginning. And our target system was FreeBSD. So we had no Linux. We had some Solaris systems. But on scanning layer, we had only FreeBSD. And since I was also, and I am... also FreeBSD developer, it was very easy for me to maintain both port, the code, and I didn't care about anything else, to be honest. And on that stage, when you have a pet project, it's very good, because basically what you're doing, you can experiment with different things, you can break project like each day and without any problems, you can forget about backwards compatibility, and actually that's a good thing. And yes, the all things that I've done at that time was development, like code, 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 and nothing else. Now it's different. And another good thing is actually that nobody expects from like a pet project to be kind of perfect. It can have bugs. It can be somehow non-optimal. It can be very weird to be deployed. You don't care, because basically the speed is actually very important. And yes, it's like a game of time. So if your project is not good enough, it will die. That's it. And also, if you do some bad decisions, like I've done many times when I develop RSBMD, it's very difficult to fix, even on that stage. For example, I used XML in config files. Why? Because glib had XML parser embedded, and I didn't have to write anything for configuration, just like get XML parser from glib, but it was a terrible idea. And even if you can do mistakes, you can do cool things. For example, now it's much more complicated. For example, during RSPOMD project, I've created a universal configuration library, and I still think that it is the best option for configurations. I've also created HTTP crypt, and I still think that it's a very good thing to encrypt data centers traffic, because it's much, much easier than development of SSL certificates, PKI, Let's Encrypt, and yada, yada, for no reasons, because I don't need certificates, I don't need 3 month certificates. It doesn't make sense. I just need some sort of pre-shared keys, and that's it, because there is not, no thing such as, you know, keys rotation in my threat model. I just need to encrypt traffic, not to, like, you know. And yes, it's still your pet. So why we have decided to move to open source model? So first of all, in RSpomD and in any spam filter, the main kind of source of intelligence is rules, lists, and so on. So basically, the code itself is not a kind of commercial secret. Actually, we had a lot of good conversation with third-party users in terms of improvements, in terms of ideas, in terms of, you know, bug reports and stuff like that. So if you use RSpomD, thank you for that, because it's very important for me. And also, we use GitHub. It was also a very good switch, because previously it was Bitbucket. But GitHub is not about Git. It's about society. So it's like a community platform, and it's really very good. So it's mostly not about code management. It's about users management and users there. Yes, and during all these 15 years, I found lots of good developers who has been with the project for many years, especially Andrew Lewis and Alexander Maisev, who is working on web interface. And I'd like to say special thanks for them, though they're not here. But actually, open source projects has some certain problems when you're doing. So the first and the biggest issue is how to scale your project from pet project that is kind of sits in your network to something that is used by many users. I had endless problems with different Linux distributives, because the problem is that in any Linux distributive, they care more about their policies than about RSpomD. And I care more about RSpomD than about their policies. And that's contradiction. It was very hard to resolve, so I'm trying my best to do it. For example, with Gentoo team, we have found a way to add some configuration knobs to use system libraries and stuff like that. So I'm open for suggestions, but for me, RSpomD is first, and your distributives is the second. And if you can convince me, then okay. Yes. And also, public infrastructure is quite hard to maintain. So now my servers are quite busy, and that's why I've introduced these limits and stuff like that, because otherwise, you know, people are starting to exploit this. And one thing is actually that the community support is very difficult, because you have, like, a lot of questions, and you have to kind of reiterate on them, answer the same questions one more time, two, three, four, you add this to frequently asked questions, but they're still coming, going. For example, this from Dikim, okay. It's fine. And also, vendors and large users can easily exploit your systems, and they don't care. Okay, so they won't care at all. So, like, let's meet in the court, right? But I don't have lawyers, I don't have staff that can protect me, and there are no laws to protect me. Because, for example, I had some OEM provider that used some old version of RSpomD in all the installations all over the world, and it was crazy. So I had to write special torpedoing system in Nginx to prevent it from being overloaded, because otherwise it was like 100% all the time on all servers. So people weren't able to access my site just because of these guys. I just don't care. And that was very frustrating experience, to be honest. Yeah. And when you grow, you have to provide backwards compatibility. So now it's one of the main principles. You have to maintain documentation, which is another big problem. Each upgrade can be painful, and yeah. And nobody wants to test experimental packages because even there are experimental packages, nobody would like to do it. Yes, and that's the problem as well. Right. So I have really very few time, so I'll try to be very short now. So what have we done actually? So we started to use tests much more, I'd say, massively, comparing to previous. So we added unit tests. We now have functional testing, unit testing for C++, unit testing for Lua, and so on and so forth. We have basically CI, CD, and stuff like that. So I started to do better, to pay more attention to documentation. So when I write something, I try to create a pull request about documentation. And well, yes, I decided not to go through paths like bring everything from vendor, from operation systems to RSpMD. So if we can deal with them, it's okay. If we cannot, then we cannot. For example, I cannot support old versions of Ubuntu just because they don't have any suitable compiler to build modern C++. Okay, so you can use RSpMD in Docker. That's my answer, actually. Yes. And also, it was quite important to use the features from GitHub. So now I use pull requests much more, like GitHub workflow more extensively, because before that I just committed to master directly. But I found actually that with the GitHub approach, it's much easier to make release notes. So you just push one button and you have some sane release notes. Yes. Okay. I'll just keep this slide. Just one more phrase. It's still my pet, so I still love RSpMD and I still love development of RSpMD. And so thank you for the questions.
We have time for one question, but then we will pause 5 minutes. So
yeah, sorry, I just... yeah.
Thank you for the nice presentation. I'm a happy RSpMD user for the last 5 years. Thank you for
Thank
the
you.
Nice project. I have a question, please forgive my ignorance if it's already answered. Is there any possible way in the community of the, is there any community of sharing HAM and spam databases among users? Because it's like terrifies me just losing this information if I just reinstall my mail server or just want
it's
to
It's actually
on.
Quite a good question and quite a good suggestion. So if you write that to the mailing list, we can find some appropriate solution. So if you have Bayesian database, we can share it. So there is a tool to export tokens of Bayes to some JSON-like or message pack, I don't remember. But serialize all Bayesian tokens. If you're talking about Fuzzy, you can just get Redis and special again tool. So I've created tools for dumping of your intelligence. The only thing that I cannot easily export are your rules, because they're either in Lua or in, you know, regular expressions. But I'm again open for suggestions about, you know, adding that to maybe separate repo like community plugins and community rules. And about statistics, again, we can think about it.